Father, I thank you for this day that we can celebrate your arrival, your incarnation, when you came and took on flesh and became one of us. You're fully God and you are fully man. And as we've already read in John chapter 1, you are the Word of God. And so we can't connect those dots on how that actually works. But Word, would you please speak to us today? And Holy Spirit, would you illuminate your Word so that it's not just words on paper, but that it is light and life that intersects with our spirit, that we might go and be the people that you've called us to be. So I ask your blessing on the message I'm about to present to your people. May they have ears to hear, hearts that are ready to receive, feet that are ready to put to work the good news of the gospel as we proclaim it, as we go tell it on the mountain, so to speak. I ask these things and your blessing. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this month, if you've been here, and even if you're not, we've been going through a series just for this month on gospel gifts. For God so loved the world that he gave. And so, quick review. Week one, we talked about the gift that God gave us of salvation. Yes, so God came and rescued us from our sin. And that was a gift that he offered to the whole world. Didn't matter who you were, he offered that to you. And you were pre-qualified to receive it. And all you had to do was respond to receive that gift of salvation. The second gift that we talked about was a gift that's only for believers. And that was the gift of sanctification, which just is a big fancy word that means it's the process of God making you holy, setting you apart from sin in the world and setting you apart to God. That process will last your entire life from the moment you become a believer in Christ until the moment you take your last breath. That is a gift, a promise that God has given you that he will bring to completion that which he has begun in your life. It will be for his glory. Last week, we talked about the third gift, at least highlighted in this particular series, and that was the gift of healing. And that is a gift that is primarily for believers, for the children of God. Healing is available. It's not guaranteed in this life, but it is available and is primarily for God's kids, for God's children. Sometimes that gift of mercy and grace is also extended upon those who don't know him. And in many of those cases, I believe that God allows that so that it will get that person's attention so that they will come to know Jesus. Today is the fourth and final gift in the series that I'd like to present, and it is the gift of the return. This is a gift for believers. I don't really want to rank the gifts, but this gift is awesome. So, what does that mean, this gift of the return? How would you define it? Jesus, yes, Jesus is going to what? He's going to return, that's right. Any other words you would use as you think about this particular gift? He's the coming king, that's right. He's not going to come the second time as a baby in a humble manger. He's coming as the king, capital K. ING. To make all things new. That's why he's coming back. Yes, to rescue us and to make our reality of this promise of redemption that he has given to us. I'm just going to define it as it's the second coming of Jesus Christ. Tuesday, December 25th, we celebrate the first coming of Jesus, his first advent, his first arrival on planet Earth, so to speak, wherein he took on flesh. And his first coming. But as he was leaving, in so many words, he said, I'll be back. And that's a promise. And so this is the gift that he gives to us of his return, the second coming of Christ. And as I've already said, it is going to be fantastic. So this morning, I do need another volunteer, another young person to be able to help me with the little project that I have. Is there anybody here named Ralphie? Well, I wasn't prepared for that. Well, I'm going to have to check your birth certificates. And lying in church is not a good thing. So if you're hanging on to anything metal, you might want to let go of it. So let me retract that question. Is there anyone here maybe by the name of Colton? Is there a Colton here? Colt? Oh, there is. Well, imagine that. Come on up, Colt. I need your help this morning. Yes, it is the fourth one. Yeah, last week we had a big kid. How are you this morning? Yeah, here, we'll just set this back here for right now. How about that? We'll just put that right there. I'll put my Bible back here as well. So here, have a seat. So this is a big month, huh? Yeah. Big week. Mm-hmm. What's Tuesday morning going to look like at your house?
Opening presents.
Opening presents. Are you guys like going to sleep in or get up early?
I'm going to be up at
6:30. 6:30? Now, will your mom be up at that time, though? I don't know. It doesn't matter, huh? Well, I hope you get everything you wanted. And presents are really fun, aren't they? Gifts are really nice. So wouldn't it be great if there was a gift under one of these trees up here this morning? That would be pretty neat, wouldn't it? Do you see any gifts over there? No? Well, you probably want to look again. I think there might be something over there underneath that big one. I think there might be two, because I got good eyesight. So would you go take a look and see without knocking over the tree or any of that equipment over there? I think there's a couple of them under there. Maybe you can. Yeah, you can just sneak right over there. And if you knock the tree over, it's okay. Yeah, I think, why don't you bring them up here? I think we need them. All right, good. Careful, I think they're heavy. Aren't you glad I didn't call your brother up here? Sorry, Weston. Oh, he went to children's church, though. So, well, here. How do you know this one's mine? Well, actually, it is. It is mine. So I'll tell you what. Why don't you open that one? I'll open this one. This one's for the church. That one's for you. What do you got? I got something from Walmart. What is it?
A Red Ryder BB gun.
Red Ryder BB gun. Now I asked if there was a Ralphie here, but nobody was interested and being Ralphie. So have you ever seen one of these before?
No.
No? No? You don't have one, do you?
No.
Oh, well, that's good. Now, what do you do with the Red Ryder BB gun?
Shoot your eye out.
I hope not. I hope that's not what you do. Well, here, you know, you got to leave it shut for now, though, okay? So, because you're not allowed to carry weapons in the church unless you're licensed. So, So there's this character on here. His name is Red Ryder. Do you know anything about him? He's an old comic book character from the 1930s and 1940s. And what he would do is he'd ride around on his trusty steed. I think his steed was named Thunder. That's a fancy name for a horse. And he would carry this weapon. And do you know what he would do when he would... Actually, I think I have a picture of it for us up here. I meant to move this forward. Sorry, everybody. There we go. Do you know what would he do with this when he'd ride around on his horse? What do you think cowboys used to do? Like, they just ride around, or
They shoot the bandits.
That's right. They keep an eye out for the bad guys, and when the bad guys see a weapon like this on the cowboy, what are they going to do?
Probably run away.
Probably run the other direction. That's right. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I'd like to have one of those. I'd like you to have that if you'd like to have it. Would you like to have that? Well, you got to promise me two things, though. The first thing is you can't open it until you get home. And the second thing is you got to promise me that you're not going to shoot your eye out. Either one. You can't shoot either eye out. Because I think if you do, I think your mom will probably be coming after me with this. And that wouldn't be a good thing. Well, thank you for helping me with that. Actually, I want to show you what I got. So I got a crown. Do you want to trade? No, not really. Okay. Any idea what this crown is all about? Yeah, it's about Jesus, right? We were talking about he's going to be coming back, returning to earth not as a baby, but this time he'll be coming back as
the king.
That's right. And you know what I'd like you to do before you go back to your seat with your new weapon? I'd like you to read a little passage. I saw you brought your tablet up here with you. Here, let's just have you. If you wouldn't mind, if you could read this for me. And I've got it up here on the screen for everybody as well. It's Revelation chapter 19, yep, verses 11 through 16. Can you read that for us?
I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nation. He will rule them with an iron scepter.
Yeah.
He treads the winepress of the fury and the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his sock, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen. So it's interesting as we read that, he's not carrying a what? He's not carrying a Red Ryder BB gun. He's carrying something much more powerful. It says that he's gonna strike down the nations with the sharp sword that proceeds from his mouth. He is the rider, faithful and true, and he is wearing how many crowns?
Many
crowns. We're just going to talk about one crown today. So thank you for your help today, and I hope you enjoy your Red Ryder BB gun. You're welcome. Sorry for everybody else whose name really was Ralphie. I apologize to you. So as you may have noticed, we, in our logo for the denomination, we have these symbols, a cross, a laver, a pitcher of oil, and a crown. Of course, the crown represents the coming king, who Colton just read about there in Revelation chapter 19. He's coming again. He's not going to be in the stable this time. He's coming, and he is going to wage war on evil and set all things right. Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 24. And so if you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to turn there. I'm going to read a little bit of this chapter. Matthew 24, it's going to be verses, I'm going to start there with verse 3. It says, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Jesus goes on to give many more details in the following verses about this second coming, his return. And then in verse 36 he says, "But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other left." And then verse 42. "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would have not let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." And so Jesus is conveying this information, this instruction. He's telling it to the disciples. And so in some way, he's telling it to us as his disciples. And what is it that we are to do as we wait for the return of the King? Keep watch. Keep watch. Be ready. And so as a people of God, we are watching for his coming. Certainly this week we celebrate his first coming. But in the meantime, we're not supposed to just check it off the list and then wait around doing nothing. No, we are to keep watch for his second coming with eager expectation. I shouldn't, but I probably should. I should get up every morning and think, today could be the day. How, Lord, do you want me to live my life if today's the day that you're going to come back? Having an awareness, the reality of he could return today, it's the potentially the imminent return of Christ, it changes the way that you live. It changes your mindset from a temporary perspective and puts it more to an eternal perspective. We need to be watching for his coming like a guard who is on the alert at night. Like the Red Rider who rides around on thunder carrying his, not his BB gun, on the guard for the bandits, the thieves, the bad guys. We need to be ready to thwart evil wherever we find it in our lives, saying no to sin and saying yes to righteousness. We need to avoid and eliminate the distractions in our lives. As believers, we don't have time to mess around with sin. Jesus is coming back. He said, yes, I am coming soon. And so part of our watchfulness is saying no to sin, saying no to the distractions and the things of this world. Many places in the scriptures it talks about the church or believers being asleep, that we need to wake up. The watchman can't see the thief coming if he's asleep. And so, church, we need to be awake and ready and watching. Not only what's going on around us, but keeping our eyes on those eastern skies from which he will come on the clouds. The scripture says, every eye will see him, that he will come like lightning, and we will see him. We are to be aware and alert and watchful for the schemes of the enemy. The enemy does not want you to be about the business of the kingdom. The enemy wants you to be about the business of this world and materialism and pride and all the things that this world has to offer. The last thing the enemy wants you to do is to watch for the coming of the King. We need to be disciplined in prayer, in the reading of the word, in our confession, in our obedience, in our worship. That's what watching entails. We don't have to stand outside and watch the sky 24/7. You get a crick in your neck, and that would be that wouldn't be useful. But there are other things we're supposed to be doing. What else are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be announcing the good news. What did those shepherds do on that first Christmas night when they went to Bethlehem? They found the babe and his mother. And what did they do? It's in Luke chapter 2, verse 17. When they, it's talking about the shepherds, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. We're just shepherds who have been given the privilege of seeing Christ, realizing this great salvation that he has made available to us. Our job, as we wait for him to return, is to announce this good news. It's for all people. And so we are to continue to represent him, to be ambassadors for Christ as we wait for his return. The third thing we're supposed to do is continue to seek the King. What does this look like in your life? Seeking the King? Certainly the wise men came from afar. They saw the star. They were aware of the prophecies about Christ, about this king that was to come, and they were coming to see him. They were seeking him. What does seeking the King look like for you as a follower of Christ, as his family? Well, I pray that it continues to be time in the Word, time in prayer, time together as the church, fellowshipping and encouraging one another, all born out of an intimacy with Christ. What you know about Jesus Christ today, right now, is not the full extent of what there is to know about him. He wants deeper relationship with you. Not only does he want you to represent him to the world, but he wants to know you better. He wants you to know him better. This God that we serve is not an idol on a shelf. He is a living, Jesus Christ is living, breathing human flesh. And he will return. And he desires deep relationship with each one of us. And so in this season, I would challenge you to continue to seek him, to continue to seek this King. Before Jesus was born, the angel said this to Mary. He said, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And so this baby that we celebrate his birth, he didn't stay a baby forever. He grew up, he became a man, he died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and someday he will come back physically, visibly. And where is he going to come back to? The Mount of Olives, where he was talking with his disciples about these things. And on what day and hour it would be, no one knows. Even Jesus, however that works, even Jesus does not know. Only the Father knows. And so, church, let's continue to be watchful. Let's continue to announce the good news. Let's continue to seek him, because he is a King who is worthy of all of our praise. To God be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.